Okay, so here we are. Exactly where we left off. Surely you've been reviewing. The last line. Oh, last week you went ahead of me. The bottom of Yud Chet Omer Aleph, the last four words, or five words, depending on how you count. Tanu Rabbanan. Kara Serugin Yatsa. Serusin Lo Yatsa. If you read it Serugin. Mazes Serugin? Yeah, with pauses. With pauses. Now that's not the way we do it. You've never been to a Kriya Samagila that did this, right? Well, you know, maybe we've all been to a Kriya Samagila like this. The Haman, a Haman is a kind of a pause.
But did that mean that you swap readers?
I was in Rome.
What?
I was in Rome.
In Rome.
Very interesting. The Balkari reads the Pasuk, stops about two or three words before the end, and the Kahal finishes the Pasuk, and then he repeats the rest of the words.
For the whole Pasuk of the Megillah? It must take forever.
No. Actually, they don't make noise in Haman.
Uh-huh.
It's 30 minutes, 35 minutes.
What is the origins of this minhag?
Minagitalia.
Every single pasuk, they read the last three words. I mean, maybe it keeps the people engaged. Which is, by the way, the four psukim, there are four strategic psukim that everybody says out loud. Ish Yehudi Hayab Shushan Mordechai Shmo Lahudim Ma'ita Or Simchav Zasn VeYikar. The last pasuk, Vayir Shushan Tzalav Asamecha. So it's not clear why those psukim. I mean, those are strategic psukim, but I think the Mishnah Berurah says that they're there to, if not the Mishnah Berurah, then somebody else. Says that they're there to, to keep people on their toes, to keep people. I'm not sure what the origin of that minhag is. It's not I doubt it goes back to antiquity, but similar to what we have in the Kriyas HaTorah on Tanat Zibur, but it's a way to keep people.
Sfarim don't do that.
The Sfarim don't.
No, then it's always a little awkward when we have like a mix, like in Knesset, it's very Sfarim-centric.
Uh-huh.
Like Ashkenazim will start saying it.
I know. I remember one time I went to Rosetta.
Yeah.
You don't make any noise.
Yeah.
I also don't remember that they said the pasukim out loud.
That's exactly what he just said.
Yeah. No, but this is Temani.
Okay. Anyway, so Serugin Yatsa. If you're reading and you take a break, now it could happen. Nagid something. Chas v'shalom. Somebody passes out in the middle of shul, in the middle of Kriyas HaMegillah. Maybe he already had a little bit too much, and so they have to call Hatzalah. They have to call. Yeah, he was fasting from Tanit Esther. So it could be that like it'll take a few minutes until everything gets settled, and then the chazin, then the shliach tzibur. Will continue. So you can imagine scenarios by which there would be a break.
Could it also mean that you have different readers in prakim?
Yeah. So in other words, our custom. In other words, lechatchil, it's better to have one balkore read the whole thing beginning to end. But it's a pretty widespread custom. He was not counting on you. You see, he knew you were going to let him know.
I brought the wrong gemara, by the way. This one's just to hold my spot.
You wouldn't have noticed.
But even when we switch readers between prakim, usually the next reader is on deck, and there's not too much of a pause. But anyway, you can imagine all types of scenarios by which there'd be a break in the middle of the reading. So if there's a break in the middle of the reading, yatsa. What does yatsa mean? Meaning?
You don't have to go back and read it again.
Meaning?
The person who read it for you, how
you were you Mekayim the mitzvah?
Bidi Evid.
Yatsa means Bidi Evid. Right? How do you know that the word Yatsa means Bidi Evid? Like, what's the clue, grammarian, that the word Yatsa indicates only Bidi Evid? Huh? The word itself is past tense. It indicates the act having been completed, now we look to evaluate it. Yatsa. You were yotze, but you shouldn't do it that way. You shouldn't put a break in the
how
middle
would
of.
I say it if it was perfectly fine.
Kiem or right? Or it would just state it as a fact, right?
No, you might know what the answer is. Fine. You think Kiem?
Mikudeshet. Yotze indicates b'di'evit, right? You shouldn't do it that way. But you don't say. Serusin lo yotza. But if you read it, Rashi says Serusin limafreya kemo sareset amikra vedarshehu. The kach v'kein yotza mechutach o misuras. You read it out of order. You read Perek Aleph and then Perek Gimel and Perek Beis and Perek Dalet. You don't read it in order beginning to end. That's misuras. It's chopped up and you throw the cards up in the air and however they land. So that's not, you're not yotzei. Rav Muna Amar. Rav Muna Amar. Meshum Rebbe Yehuda. Af beserugin. Even with some kind of break in the middle, it's not unlimited, according to Rav Muna. Im, the top of Yud Ched Amar Aleph, Yud Ched Amar Beis. Im Shaha Kedei Ligmoret Kula Chozer LaRosh. If your break is long enough to finish the whole Megillah, you have a pause for 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. But if the break is long enough that you could have read the whole Megillah during that break, how long does it take to read the Megillah? For an average person, let's say?
I would say,
for Gura,
you can do it like 18 minutes. Yeah.
For you, let's say you're an average person.
That's not an average person.
25 minutes, half hour.
25 minutes, half hour.
So in other words, that's not a good share, but that's not exact.
No, but let's imagine whatever in average is. Let's assume, for the sake of our conversation tonight, let's say an average is. Say it, but let's say it's a half hour. Or minimum. So go with the minimum. Let's say it's impossible to read the Megillah and in less than 20 minutes. Omar Rav Yosef, halacha k'Rav Muna. Sh'omar Mishum Rabbi Yehuda. And that's the halacha that says Rav Yosef, that if the break is longer than it takes to read the whole thing beginning to end, you're not yotze.
Isn't there a general klal that the Chazal don't give during the shiurim?
What kind of yotze?
I see you've read ahead.
I did it again. I'm sorry. I'll be quiet.
Well, hold on. He doesn't want to read. Spoiler alert.
Sorry.
Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Omer le'Abaye Rav Yosef. Kedei ligmur et kula. Mehecha dekai l'seifa, odilma mireisha l'seifa. What does it mean, kedei ligmur et kula?
How much time is left?
Does it mean how much time is left? Or does it mean this objective shiur beginning to end?
It has to mean from beginning to end.
Why?
Everybody would have a different color.
Exactly.
No, that's the because in the break between the last one and the second one, it's so small. You'd hiccup and
So if you get to the last pasuk, if you pause to yawn, three words left.
You have to start all over.
Right. You'd have to start all over.
No, but how do you? If you're the Baal Korah, you wait for everyone else to read the last pasuk before you say.
Every single time, it's a different time. It's a different time for every single person.
Let's take an average. Let's assume that Kriyas Megillah on average takes 30 minutes. So if you say Vayhi b'mei Achashverosh, and then you pause. And that pause is more than 30 minutes, so that's, you're not yotzei, because that's more than it would have taken you to read from where you were to the end. But if you're in the last perek, you know, that little thing that's added on where everybody makes that silly joke about the taxes, right? And you pause for 5 minutes. So according to the first shita, that it's whatever the total time reading is, you're yotzei. Because you only pause for 5 minutes, and how long can you pause?
25.
30. 29 and a half. Hmm. But according to the Shita, that it's from wherever you are until the end. In other words, let's say there's a clock, like a countdown clock of how long Remember when the shul life was in America? You know, there's so many things you forget about American shul life. There's that guy whose job it is to hang up the thing with the numbers, like, so you know what
the numbers.
To flip the numbers,
they
right?
Do that?
They still do that. It's a minug avasenu b'yadenu. To flip the numbers, they still have the DeSolo pool sidur,
yep.
Which is, you know, hard.
Today they use art school.
They also have, but in this shul that I was in, they had you could have the DeSolo pool or the art scroll.
And the numbers go according to the DeSolo pool, not according to art scroll. Because the numbers are for the old folks.
For the old folks.
Right.
So in other words, you could have the same thing. You could have a countdown clock. How much time is, right? Like your kid always asks you, how much longer is it?
Right. Are we there yet? According to one sheet.
Like about the 3-second rule or something like that?
It goes as according to how much is left. According to the other sheet, it goes how much.
How much, whatever the objective time for creating Megillah is.
Right.
So the Gemara says, Omer le Mireisha le Seifa. No, it has to be whatever the total time is. Lama?
The
Imkein Natata Dvarecha le Shurin. Like Tzvi said, he read ahead. He prepares. At least somebody's preparing in advance.
I can't take credit for that.
Chazal had an idea that Shiurim should be somehow fixed and objective. Now, it's true that in some cases, this is not the case. There are a few exceptions to this rule. But generally speaking...
What's the rule?
Like what you're holding.
That this is like a revise.
A Mole Lugma.
Oh, so yefe. A Mole Lugma. Well, let's first explain the rule. The rule is that shiurin, objective measurements, time, space, volume, weight, etc., they should be objective. They should be the same thing for everyone. Right? We don't say that if you're a big fat guy who can eat a lot, who can win the pie eating contest, your shiur for kazayin of matzah should be bigger. And if you're a tiny, slim, little 90-pound weakling, your shiur for matzah should be less. Right? It's an objective shiur. Whatever a kazayin is, let's not go into that now. Right? Some guys can really hold their liquor. Right? And some guys, like, you know, with the first sip of the Arba Kosot, they're under the table. Right, so we don't say for a shikir that you know this is the shiur. Now again, don't get into the fact that we have different shiurim because there are different shitot on how to measure. But in shamayim, there's some kind of objective measure of what a revit yayin is. Now so that's the idea that it has to be an object. When we say that a pause, which is posel the kriyat megillah, it has to be an object. It has to be whatever it is. 25 minutes, 30 minutes.
The problem with that whole approach.
So you have to go by average. You have
the
to
question you have whether to, you're going from. No.
They didn't say from like halichat meal. They said the amount of time it takes, which in any case would be different from person to person. So like,
well, halichat meal. Halichat meal is
an
open kind of
saying that was a standard. But they were saying, we used that example in the last one. There was that was like a that they were using as a certain measure of time. You could know better how long that was going to take. So but it doesn't like it really, you're saying how long it should take you to finish the Megillah.
But it doesn't answer the question of whether we're talking about the time it takes to read the Megillah or what's left.
No, the halacha is that it's the objective time, how long it takes to read from beginning to end. Because if it's not that objective time, then you would have this problem of variable shiur.
But the variable, the same. There's some word is right in the middle of the Megillah. I don't know what it is. Some word right in the Megillah. The pause is right there. It's half. Why is it, if you know whatever X is,
because
it's the same X, half of X.
Because it would vary from case to case.
The same, all it is half of whatever it is. If you're saying that, you know, it's simple.
But it doesn't vary from case to case in the framework. It varies from case to case.
As much.
What actually happens.
But it doesn't, but either way, you have
to. We could also say, how much matzah should you eat? You should eat enough matzah until you feel full.
There are a lot like that.
Yeah, but matzah happens not to be one of them.
Okay, it's a good example. There is one of those. I mean, you know, I would understand if they gave an objective measurement of time. Right. Did not give an objective measurement of time. They're both relative. I'm not sure what you.
Okay.
You
so this is
less relative than the other.
The only thing I can say is maybe you can say it's more difficult to calculate at that point.
It's more variable.
Okay.
But either way, it's still objective. It's still subjective. It's not objective.
So this is where Chazal had this idea of Natata Dvarecha L'Shiurin, that it's better to have object, and this is more object, even though it's true, you have to go by average. Just like this idea that walking a meal is 18 minutes, or at least, you know, in our day. In other words, once upon a time, they didn't know what 18 minutes were.
Sure.
Right? But our idea that it's somehow more set and stable, and that also the Gemara doesn't mention this, but it avoids the problem that Saul said, that when you get to the end, you'd have to speed up, because if you even stop to breathe, like if you stop to breathe two words before the end, you're stuck. You'd have to go back to the beginning again. Each time you get to the end, you'd have to compress it. So that's it. It's true that there are some examples of shiurim that are subjective, that are exceptions to this rule. Mole lugmav, the amount of liquid that fills one cheek. So, for example, on Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to eat or drink. But we have this idea of she'urin, that if one must eat, if it's pikuach nefesh, you do whatever you have to do. And it's if it's pikuach nefesh, you eat and drink, whatever it is. But if you have to eat and drink, and it's not exactly pikuach nefesh, meaning you have to eat and drink so that you don't get to the matzav of pikuach nefesh, so then you should drink and eat less than shi'urin, right? Over, with the time breaks. So what is the shi'ur for liquids? Is it mole lugmav? Is half a mouthful, meaning one cheekful? So how do you know how much a mouthful? So you want to demonstrate this for us now? Oh, you can with the whiskey. Before Yom Kippur, you, and then you spit it back into the cup, and then on the cup you draw a little line, and that's your shi'ur, but that's personal. That's personalized for you. Well, no, but it's objective relative to each person's anatomy, right?
The quantity is different.
But so is the reading of the Megillah relative to each person. It's the same thing.
Okay.
In other words, they're both okay, because that's they're right. Both a framework.
Steinfeld has a slightly different explanation, which makes it a little easier to accept. He says that it's a shiur, Ve'en chachamim kavu shiur she'eino kavua, meaning, I don't think it means subjective subjective, but rather, it's not, it doesn't vary. That's not a question of,
right.
Not,
that's more precise. Right.
Whatever they would decide, you might know for Giora might be different than for Steve, but you wouldn't have to calculate on the fly what the
right. Okay, that's a more precise way of saying it. That it's non-variable instead of subject and object.
Well, so the calculating might answer my question. I didn't understand how this whole flow goes. Right? If you pause for long enough to finish the whole thing, then you're not yotzei. You have to go back to the beginning. So that's the question. But
the whole thing is beginning to end, or from wherever you paused until the end?
And the answer is beginning to end, because
you don't want a variable shiur.
Right. But the shiur isn't variable. The shiur for reading beginning to end is X. And based on that, and what Dave just answered for me, is that if you were a third of the way through, then if you paused for more than the amount of time it would take to read two-thirds...
No, but then
I mean,
it does
calculation,
become
calculation, but it doesn't mean
then
that
it does become variable.
Shiur.
Then it does become variable because, in other words, if
it depends on where you are when you pause.
If I say how long a pause are real, if I say
that's legitimate.
If I say how long a pause,
that's shiurim.
If I say how long a pause are we allowed in Kriyas HaMegillah, and the answer is the beginning to end half hour. But if the answer is it depends on where you paused. So then the answer that you have to fill in on the piece of paper is going to be different for each and every case. In that way, it's variable.
I have a separate question.
Based on the case, though, based on where you stop, not based on like the person or the speed or anything like that.
I'll give you two examples. Steve is at home, and he's reading for himself. So he knows, okay, I'm reading for myself.
It always goes faster.
And it's going to go faster. It's going to take me 20 minutes. There's no stopping for Hamad. There's no booze. Boom, 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 boom.
Skip a word, a few words.
There's plenty of booze.
What?
There's plenty of booze.
20 minutes, I'm done. Whereas, let's say Steve gets invited to someone's house because their grandmother couldn't make it to shul, and there's like 20 people there. And in the middle, he has to take a break for whatever reason. But here, it's not going to take him 20 minutes. It's going to take him 40 minutes. Why? Because there's grandchildren, there's grandmother. So how do you measure your break?
So, again, presumably, it's according to the Shita, which we don't paskin like, presumably it's whatever that reading would be for that person.
But it's not the reading for that person. It's the reading for that situation because it's the same person.
I understand.
Reading.
But in that case, if he pauses, if he's on the express train that's going to take 20 minutes, so he can afford to take a pause of up to 20 minutes, And if he's on the local train that's going to take 40 minutes, he can afford to take a pause of up to 40 minutes. But halacha lamaisa, we say, it's not like that. Okay. Omer Rav Abba, Omer Rabbi Yirmiya, Bar Abba, Omer Rav, halacha k'rebi muna, u'shmul omar ein halacha k'rebi muna. Besura matni hachi, v'pumedita matni hachi. And there's different girsaot about who said what, but for the maskon it doesn't matter. Omer Rav Kahana, Omer Rav, halacha k'reb muna, u'shmul omar ein halacha k'reb muna. Rav Bevi matne ipcha. Rav Amar ein halacha k'reb muna, u'shmul amar halacha k'reb muna. Right, and it's unclear about who said what and whose position. And there's two shitot, but we're not sure was Rav's position this and Shmuel's position was that, or lefech. So how do you figure this out? In other words, there's two different traditions about, and as one is correct, and this is not like a machloket where we can disagree, where I say it's mutter and you say it's usser, each of our reasons. This is a machlokas, and one of these shitot is wrong. In other words, either Shmuel said this and Rav said that, or vice versa. And you can understand why a shibush in the transmission, might have happened. So absent some piece of... So imagine you haven't prepared in advance. Or imagine you didn't learn this Gemara in 7th grade and remembered Baal Peh.
You have to look at other cases.
So what would you do? You can look at
other cases with similar circumstances, and according to that, figure out what the story
is. Right, so maybe there's a parallel source by which we can determine one or both of their shitot, in this case. But in the absence of that, in this case, apparently...
Maybe the cloud about whichever was by first, and whichever was by last.
So you look to the klalim about how each of these Amoroyim thought. What does the Gemara say? Omar of Yosef, Nakut Rav Beve Biadecha. We should accept the position of Rav Beve. What did Rav Beve say? It's not Bibi, like the Prime Minister.
Say, baby, I say, baby, let's
follow. Whatever Bebe say, Matni Ipcha. Rav Amar Ein Shmuel Amar Halacha K'Rav Muna.
Who says
that it's relative. It's the shorter shear. Meaning, who's more Machmir? Rav Muna or the Chachamim? The Chachamim, why? No, but who's more machmir?
Rav Muna just says that after Serugin Bechlal.
What?
Rav Muna doesn't get into the issue of whether it's the middle or not. Rav Muna just says even instead of Serugin Bechlal, the Chachamim say Serugin Yer Yatzah, and then Rav Muna says it's not Yatzah if it's Serugin. The issue of whether it's a Reish or Seifa isn't the issue of Rav Muna.
No, in other words, Rav Muna said you're not Yotze.
Right. But that issue, the Rishon Sefer wasn't issue.
But Rav Muna said you're not Yotze if you read Serugin if you have a break. Right? The implication being the other Shita is that even with a break, you're right?
Yeah.
In other words, the Tanakhama says Seirugin Yatsa. If you take a break, you're Yotze. Rav Muna introduces the idea that there's a limit on the Seirugin. There's a limit on the delay. The implication is that the Tanakhama must think, or the Chachamim must think, you read half the Megillah in the morning, and you read half the Megillah in the afternoon, Yotze b'di'evit. Right, Rav Muna's the who's so Rav Muna's more machmir, right? So the machlokus is whether the halakha is like Rav Muna that there's a limit on how long the break can be, or there's no limit on how long the break could be. So we don't know if Shmuel held like the Tanakhama, or he held like Rav Muna and Rav, whatever the opposite is. As now could the Rav Bevi be a decha the Shmuel who the chayesh liyichido'o. Shmuel was machmir, and it's generally speaking yochid v'rabim halacha kerabim. So you have Rav Muna the yochid against the rabim, but in this case the yochid is machmir, and the majority is mekel. But Shmuel's klal is that, although general, all things being equal, halacha kerabim, we can follow the majority, unless the minority opinion is more stringent. In which case we should be choshesh for a minority stringent opinion. And as you understand...
You mean unless the minority is mekel?
No, in this case the minority is machmir. Rav Muna is machmir. The Tanakhama says you can have as long a break as you want. Rav Muna says you can have a break only if it's less than whatever, either like this or like that.
Don't go after the rove if the rove is mekel.
Don't go after the rove if the rove is mekel against a yochid who's machmir. No, because you want it because of the idea of being yotzei kol hadeh. That's if the rove is machmir. So you have nothing to lose.
On something.
So you've got nothing.
Everyone thinks so.
You've got nothing to lose, right?
Not everyone.
But if you can accommodate a das yochid, right? As by being machmir, you're not violating the rabbi, right? You're covering all your bases. So Shmuel's general klal psach is dechayish liyachido. And how do we know this? So he gives an example. Ditznan. Shomeret Yavam, Shekidesh Achiv et Achota. You have a case of Yibum. If we had a blackboard, it would be easier, but we don't. So imagine this in your head. Shimon and Reuven, Shimon, Reuven, and Levi are brothers. Shimon is married to Rochel. Shimon dies with no children. Rochel needs Yibum. Who has to do the Yibum? What? What's next in line?
Reuven or Levi?
The oldest brother.
Any of the brothers. According to the Das Rabim, Kol HaKodem Zoch. Right? Maybe there was a minug that the oldest should do it, but lo chashuv. It didn't matter. Any of those brothers could do it. Right. What if there's only one brother? Then obviously he must do it. And as soon as the first brother dies, the only remaining brother develops what the halakha calls a zika, not like that virus. A zika means a connection. It's almost as if the moment his brother dies, he and the widow now have a kind of marital bond, the marital bond of Yibum. Because he has no choice but to marry her, and she obviously can't either marry her, either do Yibum or do Chalitza. And she obviously is also connected to him and cannot remarry until this is done. But according to the Das Rabim, if there are multiple surviving brothers, they all share this obligation. Only one of them has to do it. But no one of them automatically developed the Zika. According to the Das Yochid, the Zika applies to them all. So what happens? Shimon dies. Rochel is a widow, but she's what's called a Shomeret Yavam. She's awaiting one of the brothers to do Yibum. You have Shimon and Levi are next. Reuven and Shimon's dead. Reuven and Levi are next. Levi falls in love with Rochel's sister Leah. If he has a zika, if he's already maritally connected to Rachel, what can he not do?
He cannot be
with his wife, his Shomeret Yavams. You see on the tape, you can't see I'm making those air quotes. He cannot be with his wife's sister. It's one of the Arayas. But if there's no zika, right? If it's just kol hakodem zoche, he can marry Leah, leaving Reuven
to be miabem.
To be miabem. Right? And as soon as he, Levi, would marry Leah, then Reuven would automatically be the last one standing, because now Levi, it's also for him to even think about Chalitza with his now sister-in-law from his wife's side. Right? So then the Zika would fall to Reuven. So how do we see that that Shmuel is choshesh to the Das Yochid when the Das Yochid is more machmir from this case?
Just a side question. How does that, you said, agree with what we see in Megillat Rut?
Well, Megillat Rut is not, in other words, Megillat Rut can't be understood as a kind of Talmudic case of even, because altogether he's not a brother. He's not a, it's a kind of like a proto, like a proto Yibum.
So the Goel, how is there a Goel that's closer than him? It says you, so it's the Ploni Almoni.
No, because it's Ploni Almoni was, he was more closely related, right? And this in terms of like the land, right? Not so much in terms of the marriage. Right. But, it's a different case. But.
Side question. Levi falls in love with Rachel's sister.
Yeah.
Notwithstanding to Reuven, he can always go and do chalitza and then get married to whoever he wants. Technically speaking, right? Because I'm giving up on my connection.
That's not clear. In other words, I think what I'm saying is correct, but you'll have to go home and do your homework and check on this. Chalitza is like divorce. When a man does chalitza, that woman is now tantamount to his grusha. So if he does chalitza with one woman, I'm not sure if he can marry her sister.
He can marry her sister.
Just like if you divorce your wife, just like as if one, just as if one divorces his wife, he can't marry his sister-in-law in her life.
Only because of divorce?
What?
Only because of divorce, not like a widow.
No, and it's in her life while she's alive. You can marry a sister. You can marry your sister-in-law after your wife dies. In their case, Ariel Sharon married his Rav Kook. What? Married his wife. Rav Kook was married a short time. His wife died.
He married his sister.
And then he married the wife's sister.
But does that mean he can't marry a Kohen? She can't marry a Kohen.
Yeah, a chalutza cannot marry a Kohen.
But so that means if Reuven, let's say Reuven falls in love with like somebody else totally not connected, it does mean that his baby's stuck now.
Why?
Because he has to marry her.
No, in other words,
if he doesn't marry her, he can't marry the
brother is married, he still has to. Let's say there's only two brothers and one dies. The married brother-in-law, the surviving brother who's married, still has to do chalitza.
Yeah, but in this case, there's two other brothers.
Right, so but Lamaisa, if there's two brothers, one is single and one is married, we tell the single person to do it. Right? But the Takana, the Rebbein and Gershom, that goes against polygamy, does not override the biblical obligation of chalitza. Anyway, let's go back to the Gemara. So how do you see that Shmuel is choshesh for Das Yochid, if the Das Yochid is more machmir? Because he says, Ditznan, Shomer Yavam, Shekidesh Achiv et Achota. Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira Amru, Omrim lo Hamtein ad Sheyase Achicha Hagadol Maase. If Levi gets engaged, does Erusin with Leah, the widow's sister, we tell him, wait, don't do nisuin, meaning don't, he shouldn't have done erusin. But if he does erusin, we tell him, wait, don't do nisuin, meaning don't complete the marriage, meaning do not have marital relations, which have to wait until after nisuin, until your brother does the deed, until your brother does the yibum or the chalitza to Rachel. Why? Because the Das Yochid holds that you Levi have a zika to the sister of the woman that you're about to have relations with, and that would be forbidden. Now that's not the halacha lemasa, that's not the das of the rov, but Shmuel is machmir for the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, right? Because it's a minority opinion which is more machmir. So from this case we see why.
The fact that Shmuel was machmir in this case, how can you apply it to the case of the Megillah?
So this is an example of no. In other words, this is the home address that establishes the principle of Shmuel's Klalei Psak, that he is machmir for a das yochid who's machmir.
Yeah, but what he's asking, so, why just one case? Does that mean it's a general
rule? It's a general rule, but this is a demonstration of the general rule. Right? Notice that the Gemara has a klal that Shmuel is machmir for a das yochid if the das yochid is machmir for the rabbi. Right? What's an example of this? This case from Yibam. There are other examples. Right? So in our case in Megillah, we have a problem. We don't know what's what. We don't know if Shmuel said this and Rav said that, or Rav said this and Shmuel said that. So we have to intuit, in the absence of some outside case, we have to intuit. How can we intuit? By applying the Klalei Psak. It must be that Shmuel holds like Rav Muna, because he is a Das Yochid who's Machmir against the Rabbim. Right? So it's all by process of intuition that we understand. Look at the halacha lemaisa here at the top of the Shulchan Aruch. Kara Serugin Dahainu Shapasak Babashav Acharka Khazala Makom Shapasak. Afilu Shahakadelagmorat Kula Yotza. Not like Rav Muna, not like Shmuel. Right? The halacha lemaisa is you can have as long a pause as you have. Alechatchilu, you shouldn't do it. Hago, the Ramos says, Vafilu Sach Bentayim. Right? Now we're very machmer. We don't talk in the middle of the Megillah. We always make that announcement. But halacha lemaisa is if you pause and you talk in the middle, you're yotzei b'di'evet.
Don't announce that in the show.
Me, there are all types of halachot we shouldn't tell people.
Is that relating to the person who's listening?
Listen, hold on. Is this, you didn't read ahead?
No, I didn't.
Mihu gorin b'misha sach b'entayim. The Ramos says you should beat up a guy who talks in the middle. You should tell him he's a ratten or gudnik. Right, the Mishnah Berurah says, "Afilu shaha kedei legmor et kula." Ratzon lomar shaya chol bezman hazel legmor et kol amegila mereshavat seifa. In other words, we don't paskin like Rav Muna, and we don't paskin not like this and not like that. In other words, we don't paskin that you have to. We hold like the Tanakam. Yotza uveshaha machmat ones lefi madikai malon la'ail leaning kriyishma de chozel larosh. Who hadin hacha de choser v'kore mihu ein lo levarech od pam sheni. Right, and if you do go back and you start from the beginning, you don't say a bracha again. The bracha at the beginning counts. Va'afilu sach, and even if you talked, v'tzono lomar de. Bishtika. Right? And generally, when we say if you had to pause, you shouldn't talk. Ela afilu pasku be'emtza ha-megillah b'sicha v'shahu al yedei zenami ein tzorech lachzor ela gomer mimakom shepasak. But even if you had to stop and pause, and you know, like imagine an emergency case, somebody passes out in the middle of shul and you have to take a break while they come and they clear the guy away. And obviously, there's going to be a lot of talking and hoo-ha and whatnot. So you would just pick up from wherever you left off. V'kol zeh k'shesach ha-korei, aval ha-shomeya shesach v'lo shama al yedei zeh ha-kriya, afilu chiseh rak teva achat, dat kama poskim de lo yatsa. In other words, when we say if you talk in the middle, you're yotzei, that's if the korei has to stop for some reason. And if the korei stops and he talks in the middle and then he starts reading from where he left off, you're yotzei. And if the korei stops, like if there's like a, in the old days we used to have like this 20-minute like haman in the middle of every haman. So like if in the middle of that haman, like you have to, your kid says I have to go to the bathroom, and you have to tell him, okay, go to the bathroom or whatever it is. So you didn't miss any of the kriya. All you missed was the hoo-ha of the haman. But if the Baal Korei is reading Kamoshat Sarich, and you are talking to the guy next to you, and because you're talking to the guy next to you, then you missed even one word. So then, according to most poskim, you're not yotze.
But then it would seem that you're not yotze because you haven't heard, not
because
you
because you haven't heard, right?
So that's not how you present it. Usually presented as being like a hefsek. It's not a question of hefsek at all.
Right. So that's anyway. So that's where we'll leave off, and we'll continue. Oh, next week's Yom Yerushalayim. Any reason we're not?